If you will, take the Bible out of the back of your pew there, the ESV, the English Standard Version. If you will, turn to page 52. This is chapter 47 down at the bottom, verses number 27 to 31. Speak about the promises of Joseph this evening. As you study the life of Joseph, you will find that Joseph is an Old Testament picture. That is also a picture of the life of Christ. And tonight we see the promises of Joseph in chapter 47, verses 29 to 31. Thus Israel settled in the land of Egypt. Remember that Israel, he was known as Jacob, but his name has been changed to Israel, and that's where we get the 12 tribes of Israel from his 12 sons. Then Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. In that verse, we see these promises that were given. If you will remember when Joseph's family came to Egypt, Pharaoh promised Joseph to give them the best of the land there. In the land of Goshen, it was near the Nile River, where there was plenty of water for crops and for all of those things. And verse 27 says, and they gained possessions in it and were fruitful and multiplied greatly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. Remember, Jacob and Israel, the name is the same. Oftentimes, I think people get confused because some of these biblical names, they mean the same person and they change. And so Jacob, that's father Israel, notice he lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life were 147 years. 147 years. Can you imagine what that would do to the Social Security system? If you can only imagine, some of you right now, if you can imagine where you are in life and where you are with some health issues, to live to be 147 years would be absolutely phenomenal. I can't even begin to imagine with many, many of the health issues that people have today. But notice verse 29 says, and when the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, if now I've found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt. You will remember that Egypt stands for the world out there in the Old Testament. Notice Jacob, old father Israel, he did not want to be buried down there in Egypt. He wanted to go back to his homeland. Verse 30 says, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place, he answered. I will do as you have said. And he said, swear to me. And Joseph swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. The promises of God. You know, we sing, standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. There are some 365 promises in the Bible. Enough one for every single day of the year. The promises of God are absolutely amazing and phenomenal. And as we have journeyed through these chapters in the book of Genesis, looking at how that God is sovereignly in control, and yet there is human responsibility on each of our parts. You and I play a responsible role in the present life in which we live, and we see these promises of Joseph. Pharaoh had been good to Joseph. Joseph had been good to Pharaoh. And when it was time for Pharaoh's family to be moved down into Egypt where there was plenty, from a lack of food because of famine. By the way, I read an article just this afternoon on one of the reports, the Drudge Report, I believe it was, that they're predicting in 27 years that there will not be food in this world. Now, I thought about when I read that, I thought about the famine down in Egypt. I thought about the nations of the world tonight that are hungering. I thought about hungry people out there in the world tonight and how blessed we are that we have the provisions that we need. As the scripture says, great is thy faithfulness. His provisions are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, to me. Aren't you thankful tonight for the farmers and for the ranchers? And that's why we need to pray, God, send the rains upon the fields to produce the necessary things out there for the stocks of the ranchers and the farmers, because that is food on our tables. And God had certainly been good to Joseph. Joseph went through some tough times in life, but God was there in the midst of it, whether he was down in the pit, in that cistern where his brothers had put him in, God was there with him. Whether he was in Potiphar's house, tending to all of his household, God was with him. When he was accused falsely and put into prison, God was with him in the prison. When he was elevated 2 years later to be second in command of the nation of Egypt, God was with Joseph. Let me tell you, God's presence is with you tonight. God's presence is with me tonight. We hear that song, He's Got the Whole Wide World in His Hands, and how true that really is. When you look at the sovereignty of Almighty God, that He's in control, and sovereignty is all over the pages of the Bible, and we see it certainly in the life of Joseph. So the promises of God, Joseph stood on those wonderful promises, and then when it came time to leave life, Joseph's father asked him to promise him that he would take him out of Egypt and to take him down into the land of Canaan and bury him there. Notice in chapter 48, as we look at verses 1 to 22, we see the portion of Joseph. Now, after this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons. Now, these are Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. Notice the name back and forth, Jacob, Israel. We're speaking of the same person here. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.'" I want you to notice that phrase, an everlasting possession. For years, for hundreds of years, they've been fighting in the land of Israel there over whose land that is. And if you will notice that before old father Israel dies, the one with the 12 sons of Israel, his 12 sons, notice he says that God appeared to him in Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed him and said to me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of peoples, and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession." Now, the last time I looked up the definition of everlasting, it meant everlasting. Let me tell you, the land over there that God promised to the Jewish people, it's an everlasting possession. God has never rescinded that. The promises that he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, or old father Israel there, those are everlasting covenants. Verse 5 says, notice Joseph's father Jacob here is speaking. He says, and now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine, Ephraim and Manasseh, shall be mine as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by name, by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Paddan to my Sarah, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father. Since this one is the firstborn, put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, God made you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." Thus he put Ephraim, notice he's the younger, before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I'm about to die, but God will be with you and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you rather than to your brothers one mountain slope that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." And so, as Jacob is beginning to draw some of his last breaths in this life, it's important for him that he wants to bless Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and that he wants to bless them with a portion here of his inheritance. And then in chapter 49, we see the portrayal of Joseph. Then Jacob called his sons. Remember, he had 12 sons and a daughter. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the first fruits of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. Unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch." And so here on his deathbed, as he calls each one of these sons together, He tells them the good, the bad, and the ugly that they have been a part of. And there he speaks about Reuben being the firstborn and that he defiled his own father's bed with one of his father's wives there. Verse 5, he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul come not into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it's fierce, and their wrath, for it's cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Do you see what Jacob's doing here? One of the things that Jacob did when it came time to die, he did not excuse the sins of his sons. He did not excuse the things that they had been a part of, the things that they had done. Let me tell you, he realized that they were filled with faults. And so many today do not want to recognize that your children are not perfect. Now, I know you think you have perfect children. Everybody does, and they are perfect to you. But I want you to know what Jacob here is doing is he's isolating the things that he was so greatly disappointed in these sons. Verse 8, Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's cub from the prey, my son. You have gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion and as a lioness who dares rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples, binding his foal to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He has washed his garments in wine and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Then verse 13, he comes to Zebulun, shall dwell as the shore of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall be as Sidon. Issachar is a strong donkey crouching between the sheepfolds. He saw that a resting place was good and that the land was pleasant. So he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant at forced labor. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels so that his rider falls backward. I wait for your salvation, O Lord. Raiders shall raid Gad, but he shall raid it at their heels. Asher's food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal delicacies. Naphtali is a doe let loose that bears beautiful fawns. Joseph is a fruitful bough by spring. His branches run over the wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, harassed him severely, yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. By the God of your father who will help you, by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouches beneath, blessings of the beast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents. Up to the bounties of the everlasting hills may they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers. Notice in that great declaration there, how he praises Joseph. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf, in the morning devouring the prey and at evening dividing the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. Then he commanded them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that's in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that's in the field of Machpelah, to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. Remember, she was Joseph's mother. She died in childbirth, remember. The field and the cave that is in it were brought from the Hittites. When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. Whenever you study the life of Joseph, you see all of the incredible things that God had planned for the nation of Israel, that God planned for the Jewish people. And right there in all of that declaration and blessing, as well as pointing out the various faults and the sins of his sons, God would bless the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. And tonight over there in the land of Israel, let me tell you, there are people in the world who hate the Jewish people. All over the world, there's anti-Semitism that's going on. But I want you to know from the book of Genesis, God has blessed an everlasting covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and he has given them the land forever. And let me tell you, even though the world may think that they someday will, and they will, come against the nation of Israel, as well as against Jesus Christ himself, they will not prevail, because that land is an everlasting portion that God has given to these people. And so when you come to this passage of Scripture and Jacob is reminiscing, Jacob is thinking on his deathbed about all of these things that he wanted to express before he was gathered to his people. And so we see the blessings that are given out. Next Sunday evening, we'll probably conclude on the life of Joseph. We'll look at the 50th chapter and what happens in the remaining life there of Joseph, and how that God had tremendously used him, God had tremendously blessed him, and God would certainly use the nation of Israel. Whenever you think about that small little nation tonight, how that God is still watching over them. Let me tell you, there's an eye in the sky, and it's watching over his chosen people tonight, as well as he's watching over you and me. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand as we pray together this evening? Father God, as we pause this evening, as we think about Joseph, his brothers, his father, Joseph's mother, whom Jacob loved so much. Father, as he was nearing the end of his journey of life, as he was coming to the close of his days, he began to reminisce, he began to remember, he began to reflect. He began to send his blessings and yet point out some things that he had kept inside for a long time that he wanted to point out to these sons. As he blessed the life of Joseph, and Joseph made promises to his father, promises that he would fulfill. Thank you, God, for the promises that we see in your word. Thank you that Joseph is an Old Testament type, an Old Testament picture, even of Christ. Father, as we continue to study his life in the days ahead, I pray, oh God, you would help us to glean from this Old Testament story some rich, rich life lessons that we can take and apply to life, as well as lessons that we don't want to apply, as we've seen the mistakes that were made through this family, and yet they were God's chosen people. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but they were the chosen people of God. Father, thank you for the life lessons that you teach to us. Father, as we continue to look at chapter 50 next Sunday evening, and to see the rest of the plans that you had in Joseph's life. Father, may we busy ourselves while we're here in the now to do the things, oh God, that will be eternal and lasting. Father, take each one safely to their homes tonight. Keep them safe. Watch over them. Bring us back again on Wednesday evening, I pray, as we continue our studies in the book of Daniel. And God bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.